Hello and welcome to the Q4 Weatherby podcast. And as that comes out of my mouth, Q4, that we're going to be in Q4, that just seems unreal because there are parts of this year that seems like it's been 20 years. It's lasted about 20 years. And then we wake up and we're in Q4. And so I bet the rest of our listeners today are really glad to be in Q4 with us. But we have a really special guest today. He is actually a part of the Weatherby family. It's Kevin Gulliver. And Kevin has served as a director of clinical education for a large not-for-profit hospice. He has over 30 years experience in lots of areas, but the main ones, nursing education, risk management, quality assurance, a legal nurse consultant, leadership and regulatory compliance. He has also, if that's not enough, he has also practiced nursing in med-surg, trauma intensive care, and long-term care settings. He has also, again, been a state surveyor in Nevada. He has completed the Baldrige Examiner training experience and served as a Baldrige Examiner in order to assist programs in expanding their quality initiatives. Excuse me. As an associate with Weatherby, I told you he was a part of the Weatherby family. Kevin provides on-site and remote consulting services, including record review, pre-bill auditing, expert review, and mock surveys for hospice clients. He has earned a Master of Science in Nursing from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and he resides now in Southern Nevada. So, Kevin, welcome to our podcast.
Well, thank you. That sounded pretty amazing.
You sound great, don't you? I love it.
I do. I'm impressed.
I love
it. It's hard to sit there and listen to somebody reading a bio like that.
I know. And it's harder for me whenever I am in doing training or speaking to an organization and they read that. I don't know. Anyway, I don't like to all that. They say, how do you want me to introduce you? And I just say I'm Melanie Hill because I don't, that's a little much sometimes. But anyway, we are talking today about the principles and practices for staff education and just some of the strategies to promote learner education because clearly we are in that culture. And of course, we've leaned towards some online training for the past several years, and technology has improved so much, but nothing has rushed it along or made it more so than the COVID culture and what we're in now. So just thinking about that, tell me, is it effective? Is online staff education effective?
So that's actually a really interesting question because I know it's been getting a lot of attention in the media lately with questions about how our children in K-12 education are able to learn from, at a distance as opposed to being in the classroom. And I guess my response to that is a little nuanced in that, yes, it can be effective, but it is dependent upon quite a few factors that are really important. So those factors include the quality of the content that's being delivered. When they shut down schools and in an emergency situation, with COVID-19 spreading like wildfire.
Yeah.
The teachers were expected to transition to an online setting with no experience, preparation, no time to develop online learning content. So it probably was not very effective.
Yeah.
In order to achieve effective online learning, you need to really spend the time up front developing that content. So you need to think about quite a few things, but probably one of the most important things is how do you ensure that that is going to engage the learner?
Right. Right. And that can be hard to figure out those engagement pieces, you know? I've done a lot online over the, like everybody else, but presentations over the past 6 months. And that's just hard. I'm such a person of face-to-face, and I know if I can tell if I'm engaging an audience, if I'm in front of them, but it's been hard online for me.
Yep, and yeah, I've taught both in the classroom and in an online setting. And some of the strategies that you probably use innately in a classroom that you don't really think about are when you're delivering a presentation and you look out to your audience and you see that there are facial expressions of confusion.
Right.
You respond by seeking clarification.
Right.
So you're then going to be trying to get feedback from your audience. You know, it appears there's some confusion. Let's stop here a moment and take a look at this. So understanding that you don't have that opportunity when you're building content for delivery in an online setting, because you're not going to be able to get that type of instantaneous feedback, you should anticipate that it's going to be there and provide those opportunities as a part of that learning activity.
Right.
So
that makes total sense.
And I'm sure you're familiar with death by PowerPoint. Have you ever heard
yes.
that term?
Yes, I have.
And a lot of times what you'll see in online learning is people take their PowerPoint slides and they just put them up and that's their online learning.
Right.
It isn't very engaging.
Right. Right.
So
I was going to say, I was involved with an organization earlier this week and we were trying to put out some information for high schoolers on resume writing and on interview techniques. And we did some new and kind of innovative things, I felt like, with the PowerPoint and some audio backup, made it short and sweet and, you know, to capture the attention span and all that. And so the people who were doing that, I felt like did a really good job and doing things that I would not have thought of. And so I know that we're having to move and have some innovation and some creativity, you know, going forward with this. Tell me what do you think can be done to enhance the staff learning and retention of what they're learning, what they're being fed, through whether it's online or in person, but especially online since we're doing that so much now?
Well, there's several things. One of the first things that I think is important and almost consistently overlooked is figuring out how to motivate the learner to be engaged in that learning.
Yes.
So how many times have you had to go to a staff development in service where it is, in your mind, going to be a waste of time? So when you're going in, your motivation is not going to be to attend.
Right.
So what is critical is to help that internalize a value for actively participating in learning activity.
Uh-huh.
And there's a real simple way to do that. And it includes presenting a scenario. So, and this may not apply to every type of learning activity you're doing, but if you present a scenario that is related to a outcome of failure to apply a new skill or specific information to a situation, and you ask the learner then to identify how is it that a negative outcome, so not achieving the desired outcome, how would that affect themselves?
Yeah.
So could it potentially impinge upon their ability to retain their employment?
Okay.
How could it potentially affect their employer? Would they potentially lose business, reputation in the community, things like that? And then most importantly, I think how, because we're in a caring, you know, industry, how might that affect the patient and their family members?
Right, exactly.
So having the person just take a few minutes to sit down and write this out, and depending on the learning platforms that you're using, you can actually have them type in responses, and it can either go to the education department or it just gets saved and provided to the learner at the end. But the act writing down what the consequences are can actually significantly enhance the value, their intrinsic value for a learning activity, and therefore their resultant engagement in in the learning.
Right. Have you found, I'm just curious about this, have you found that learners will like utilize the chat box and different, you know, ways that they can send in a question, or if it's a Zoom, if they'll kind of raise their hand and ask something verbally? Are you finding that people are engaging well?
Well, even before this Zoom era.
Yes.
People are frequently reluctant to raise their hand, ask questions if they have to do it verbally. So even in the classroom setting, I would use technology to ensure that, you know, anybody could submit questions throughout a learning activity. So usually in Zoom or an online learning environment, there's an opportunity, especially if it's a synchronous situation, there's opportunity for people to submit messages by text.
Yes, okay.
And that seems to be less intimidating, especially if you mask who it is who's asking the question.
Yes. Okay.
So then people aren't afraid to ask a stupid question.
Gotcha. That's very good information for something that I'm about to do online in a couple of weeks. I just jotted that down, and I'm going to provide that option for our folks, our attendees, the learners. So that's great information.
And also, if that's available to them throughout a presentation, and you remind them occasionally, if you have questions, please go ahead and put them in the chat.
Yeah.
As they come up, that way they can get the question down and refocus on the discussion.
That's right.
So it helps maintain that engagement.
Right.
And then they're waiting for the answers.
Right.
So,
right. And that keeps
again,
you connected.
You're motivating them.
Right. That keeps you connected because the presenter is actually, you know, getting that via text or via chat, and they're answering it there in front. I don't know. There's just some connectedness to that rings true with me.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Well, tell us, Kevin, what are some tools that are available to assist in the creation of the online learning content? What have you used that's been effective?
I have used a couple, or two, primarily two different programs. One of them is called SoftChalk, and
yes,
it's now, when I was using it, it was SoftChalk, now it's SoftChalk Cloud.
Yep.
But it's the authoring software. Are you familiar with that one?
I've heard of that one. I've not utilized it, but I've heard of that one, yes.
It gives you tools that can facilitate that active learning.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of it just being a scrolling presentation where the person can, you know, sit down and click their way through rapidly, get to the final thing, do their quiz and log out, it actually allows enter things that necessitate them pausing, interacting before additional content.
Okay.
So it's like and thing and time that a learner on the content.
Yeah.
You're facilitating engagement.
Okay. Okay.
So things, I think, Talkchart, they used to have like problems or things like that where you could have activities where they have to click the pages of it to do things that are in there.
Okay.
And it may have, you know, embedded questions and things like that, but allowing people an opportunity to practice too.
Right.
Active learning isn't just the clicking, it's and enhancing retention of the learning is pretty dependent upon allowing the learner the opportunity to apply what they're learning.
Okay.
So if you embed those opportunities to practice application, it could be, you know, multiple choice questions, it could be writing narrative notes or something along that line, reading a scenario and interpreting it to then do a mock-up of your clinical documentation. Those are the opportunities for learning that, depending upon the software that you're using them, and be providing feedback to that learner as a through. So if they make an error, it may flag them and say, okay, you know, that was a reasonable choice, but here's a better option. Or go back and look at something else.
Right.
So you can get pretty close in building that content. That does take a lot of time.
Okay.
There's another software program called Articulate 360. And by the way, I'm not they're not paying us to promote them.
Right, right.
Either of these two.
Right.
But Articulate 360, I really like because the content becomes, I mean, the way they built it, it's extremely dynamic. And it allows content to be delivered over multiple platforms. So, and then they also have embedded in it.
Okay.
Opportunities for different types of delivery of information. So you can deliver content on a PC, on a iPad or tablet, on a mobile device, a mobile phone even. And when you're building it, it structures it so that it is compatible with all of those settings.
Okay.
For all those devices.
I was about to say, it gives a lot of options on devices.
It does.
Yeah.
And Articulate 360 is fairly expensive.
Okay.
But if you were, you know, working with a, you know, within a large corporate organization, they could probably absorb that fee. I worked with a single hospital, and we had a license for 360. So if you build it into your budget, it's definitely worth the investment.
Yes.
There is a learning curve, but the support is good with Articulate 360 also.
Okay, good.
And again, still would need a learning management system to deliver that content once you get it done. I think Articulate 360 has a platform that can be utilized, but I never used it. Not really sure how effective it is.
Okay.
But one of the advantages of it too is one of the things I did. If in the past deliver content to learners and you discover that they go in, skip through all the content to get quiz, and then they take the final quiz repeatedly until they achieve the score that they need.
Yep.
I actually set it so that they would have three opportunities to take that quiz, and if they didn't achieve that score, then they weren't allowed to take it again, but I received a notification that that learner had their third attempt.
Okay.
And then I would reach out to them, and they would get a message too saying, in order to complete this activity again, you need to contact the education department.
Okay.
And then we'd have a discussion about it. You know, we'd talk about going on and why they were struggling, and sometimes they identify that there were actually learning disability issues or language barriers.
Right.
Especially with the hospice aides.
Yes.
That I would approach their education in a different manner.
Good. Yeah. Tailor it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate this. It's good information. And especially, like you said, we're not promoting either one of these, but just to have some names of organizations or software to go to is very helpful, I think, for our listeners. But we appreciate your time today. I know you just have a wealth of information on this, and we just have, you know, it kind of chipped away at the tip of the iceberg. But I know that people can look at this and they can listen to our podcast and they can get some information to explore this a little further. So thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, and I don't know if you have notes included with your podcast.
Uh-huh.
List them, because I have a link.
Okay, all right.
A web page
okay.
that I think that people would find useful.
Perfect.
And I can send that to you and share it with people. But it's called Principles of Multimedia Learning.
Okay.
It's a quick, easy read and extremely valuable.
Okay. That will be great. We will send this out. When we send the podcast out or post it, we will be sure to post this link. So I'll be watching for that from you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, have a good afternoon.
A pleasure.
Thank you, Kevin. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.